this morning I want to go to the second letter that Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He writes two letters. The first letter he writes because there are some problems in the church. Some heresies have slipped in. It's a new church. It's just growing, and he tries to help them to get on the right track. That's the first letter. The second letter that he writes because his apostleship comes under attack. The people are questioning his apostleship and also questioning his authority, and he reinstates who he is. And the verses I'm going to are at the very end of the second letter. They're the closing thoughts as he writes this letter. Now, we don't often write letters nowadays, but if you did write a letter, you wouldn't just suddenly end after the main thrust of what you've written. You'd normally give a little bit of a closing off. And that's what we find here. At the very end of the second letter, these are the closing thoughts of the letter. And Debbie read them to us. And I want to look at a couple of different aspects that we find in these closing thoughts. They end with the words, finally. Finally rejoice. And that word, finally, we can't really say that because we're in the middle of this turmoil in our world. We can't really say today, finally. I think on Monday, a lot of people said, finally, when the bottle stores opened again. They were saying, finally, it's happened. But with a pandemic, it's difficult to say when we're going to be able to say that, finally. And so we look forward to the day that we can say, finally. Finally, we can meet together again as we've met before. Finally, we can worship together. Finally, this thing is over. But for now, we just have to read these words and say, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. That's what Paul says. Now, as he says that, we realize that joy and rejoicing are themes that we find in the Bible a lot. Often in the New Testament, we're called to rejoice. We read in the Bible that we should rejoice in the Lord always. And we're also told that the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is not a new concept, but it's something that it's good to be reminded of often. We live in a place where our world is upside down, and to be reminded, have joy, rejoice, be joyful, rejoice in the Lord, that's a good thing to be reminded of on a regular basis. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's reminding the church, rejoice, finally rejoice. And as he says this, Paul gives a list of things that we should do. Well, that the church should do. And Paul likes lists. He often gives lists of things that should be done, and he gives lists of things that shouldn't be done. And here he gives us a list of four things that we should do in order to help us to be closer to Almighty God, to be closer to Jesus Christ. And they're words that are in season. They're the right words for us to hear at the moment. So the first thing that he says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, he says, strive for full restoration. Strive for full restoration. Now, that word in the Greek used for restoration is actually an artisan's word. It's a word that speaks about things being made, being restored, being made right again. It's a word that we can relate to today. We know about old things that people find that are then restored, and they're more beautiful than they were before, and they're more valuable than they were before. And that's what Paul is saying needs to happen with our lives. Our lives need to be restored. I don't know if you've heard of this Japanese art form. It's called Kintsukuryo. And it's an art form that the Japanese people take bowls or vases, any earthenware that's broken, and they stick it back together. But they use resin and gold or silver dust, and the cracks are filled with this resin and gold or silver. And in actual fact, what results is something that's more beautiful than the original item. There's some pictures on the screen now that I'll show you what some of this art looks like. But the broken artifact is taken and is made more beautiful. And it's more valuable once it's been restored. And the same thing is true for us. As we strive for full restoration and we go to Christ and we say, restore me, restore my life, we come out more valuable, we come out more beautiful after Christ has done that work of restoration in our lives. So that's the first thing that Paul says. He says we need to rejoice, but then he says we need to find full restoration. Then after he's told us to seek full restoration, he says we need to encourage one another. The word encourage is a really great word. It's us giving courage to other people. It's words that we speak that will make other people courageous. I remember at high school, I was an athlete. I was good at short distance events. So I was good at 100 meters, 200 meters. So I'd often do those events and the relay race. There was one other person in my age at our school that was sometimes quicker than me and sometimes I was quicker than him. But we would always go to the inter-school athletics meeting. It was held at a stadium that had a tartan track. It was really prestigious because we ran at grass, on grass at our school. And then we would go to this tartan track and run on this very special track. It was really awesome. And I remember the 200-meter race particularly. We would start on the far side of the field and we would start running. And as we came around the front where the main spectators were sitting, there would be this cheering, this encouragement. And it was almost as though when you heard that, you were filled with more vuma, more oomph, more passion to complete the race. And that's what encouragement does. People send out words of encouragement, and we have the strength to carry on. We find the courage, we are encouraged, given courage to complete the race. And so that's what Paul says. He says, firstly, strive for full restoration. Then encourage one another. He says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. So we need to be taking this, at this time, taking this to heart. We need to be encouraging each other. Whether we grab a membership list now, quickly see who we need to encourage, or maybe you know of people that need an encouraging word, so maybe you need to make a phone call today, maybe you need to send a text message, but be people who encourage other people. So firstly, Paul, in his list, he's saying, find full restoration, and now encourage one another. Then he says, be of one mind. Whew, this is a tall order. In our church, we're not of one mind. We all have different thoughts and opinions on different things. That's why we ask for your opinion about opening up the church. Who would come, who wouldn't come? That was quite a big decision. And we had very different views. All of those questions, especially the comments part that we asked this last week in that survey, we had different opinions coming through. And then in the church as a whole, we find different churches have got different opinions. And we are not of one mind. That's why we have so many different denominations, so many different thoughts around what church should look like, about what we should do in church, how we should worship, what songs we should use. That's because we're not of one mind. So how can we be of one mind? Here Paul says we must be of one mind. He doesn't really tell us how that can happen. But if we go to Philippians 2, 5 through 7, we find the clue to how we can be of one mind. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So he says, start with that. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. There's the key to being in one mind, that we serve each other, that we are humble in our approach to other people. Often in our world, we don't see humility on display. I guess that's a bit of an oxymoron, but we don't often see people in our society who act in a humble way. And that clue, the key to how we can be of one mind, is when we are humble, when we are servants. Christ said he came to serve rather than to be served. And so as we have the mind of Christ, that's the attitude we should have as well. We should be people who serve, people of humility, people who love others simply because we're called to love, people who serve others simply because we're told to serve, people who give simply because that's what we're told to do. We shouldn't take the haughty road. We need to take the humble road. So strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. And then the fourth thing that Paul tells us to do is to live in peace. Live in peace. Peace is a theme that we find in the whole Bible. Often in the New Testament, we read about peace. And peace can have two meanings. In this scripture as well, there's two meanings. It can be the inner peace, the peace that we have because we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know our sin is forgiven and we live in peace with Almighty God. So that's the one thing that we can have here, is this inner peace, the peace that comes because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's the one thing we need to have today, is we need to have that peace inside. And if you don't have that peace, seek God today. Seek him out and say, I need that peace. Take away the stuff that is not bringing me peace in my life. The second thing then is peace with others. And we know this isn't a reality in many parts of our world. Many people are at war with each other. Many people don't have peace. People don't have peace with their neighbors, with people in society, sometimes even with people in the church. And so we need to be people of peace. Speak words of peace. Restore relationships with other people. Be of peace. Live in peace. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Paul is saying that a close relationship with God will help us to be people who live in peace. So be people of peace. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind and live in peace. Then in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 12, we read this, greet one another with a holy kiss. He's given us the finally have joy. Then he's given us these four ideas on how we can live better lives in Christ. And now he says we need to greet each other with a holy kiss. This goes right against the government regulations at this time. Any kissing in any form out there is out of the question. When actually, when we're at church, we don't greet each other with a holy kiss either, do we? In our culture, a kiss is something that's reserved for intimate moments. We normally shake hands. People in European countries often share a kiss on the cheeks. None of that is possible. Is Paul saying we should kiss each other now? I don't believe he is. What he's saying is that our interaction needs to be more real, more intimate than just a superficial interaction. We have those superficial interactions. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. Thank you. Have a good day. We have those kind of interactions, but I believe Paul is calling us here to be more real with each other, to have deeper connections, not just something that's superficial, but we need to have real interactions with each other. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 13, he says, all the saints greet you. This is referring to all the people who are saints, not those that are venerated with statues and in pictures, not those kinds of saints. But here, Paul is referring to everybody who's a right relationship with Jesus Christ, who's been made right through Christ's sacrifice. Those people are saints. So each person that has a relationship with Jesus Christ is a saint. We are saints, not with halos and like that, but simply by virtue of the fact that we have accepted Jesus Christ, that we've given our sin to him, that we're on a journey with him. We are saints because of that. And so this is great. It's a great place to realize that we are all saints, and we, as we greet others, we greet them as fellow saints. He ends the book of 2 Corinthians in verse 14 of chapter 13. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's a blessing that we often say, and I'll say that at the end of the service this morning. He ends with that blessing, and that's where we get the blessing from this letter. And Paul is saying that we are are blessed by the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he asks the blessing. And we need to do the same for other people. We need to ask God's blessing over them. We come to this place in our time, in this life, in this world, and we need to ask blessings over other people. So what can we take away from today? Well, we can take away the fact that we should seek for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, be intimate in our relationships, bless others. That word that I've kind of glossed over up until now, just before full restoration, the word is strive for full restoration. Strive is a word that calls us to a place of action. Strive is not simply journeying gently with Christ. Strive is trying to grab with both hands what Christ has for us. It's more urgent than in just simply a day-to-day journey with Christ. And I believe that's what we need to take as a reality for us today, that we need to strive for Christ, strive for a relationship with him, strive for restoration, strive for peace, strive to be of one mind, strive to bless others, strive to be people of peace. It's so critical that we do that. We don't just live day to day, wishy-washy in and out, but that we are real with each other and that we strive. So this morning, strive. Seek him with all of your heart. So be restored. Be people of peace. Be of one mind. And live in peace. Be of one mind. Encourage one another. That's the one that I couldn't quite find there. Be intimate with each other. But strive, 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 strive. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us today. Thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful, that it's active. Thank you, Lord, that Paul wrote these words and that we can take them to heart again today. Help us to be people who are restored, Lord, who are fully restored in you, that we will be more beautiful than we were before, that we will be stronger than before, that we would be people who are restored by your power in our lives. Help us to give you the stuff that's not of you and take that away from us, we pray, Lord, and fill us with resin that is laced with gold, that we would be awesome, beautiful in your sight. Thank you, Lord. Help us to encourage one another. Give us names that we can phone, that we can text, that we can encourage, Lord. Help us to be people who are people of peace. Help us to be intimate with each other, Lord, that we wouldn't just have superficial relationships, but that we would deepen our relationship with each other, Lord, and that would be an encouragement, that we would grow closer to each other as we grow closer to you. So bless us now, we pray, in your mighty name. Amen. We go now to our closing song.